Hello, my name is Johannes Kiebeck and I'm a program manager in the Bing Maps team. Today I'm going to talk about maps and apps. Maps can be your companion for your fitness activities, they are your buddy in your social networks. They can be an additional dimension when you want to visualize your data and pivot them around in various dimensions. And they can also be useful if you track your personal activities or any form of asset in a business application. Before I go to show you some of the code examples and use cases in Visual Studio, I'm going to highlight some of the location-enabled products and services. I talk a little bit about maps and apps, and then I emphasize some of the Bing Maps content features and APIs that we have out of the box. With that, let's go right in and have a quick look at the location-enabled products and services at Microsoft. Most of you will know that we have Bing Maps in our search engine for the local search and also as a separate mapping search component. Lesser known is probably that we also built large-scale digital aerial cameras, the UltraCam that is being built in one of our practices in Graz in Austria. We have location technology in SQL Server, and we can visualize in SQL reporting services all sorts of geospatial data in the context of a map. We have Bing Maps and location technology now built into SharePoint 2013. We also find it in Dynamics, CRM and AX products integrated through the PowerView. We have Bing Maps through the Office applications now directly integrated in several of the Office 2013 products, including what you see here, the Excel. We have in Excel another form of implementation through PowerView that gives you the direct connection to Bing Maps, allows you to highlight certain colors, have pie charts on the map, and also connect through a task pane with Windows Azure HD Insight, and then pivot this data around, filter, and show it in the context of Bing Maps. This is self-service BI on big data, really made very simple. We find Bing Maps also in Geoflow, one of the new plugins that we are previewing currently for Excel. Here you can visualize your data in a three-dimensional sphere, and you can also visualize it over the timeline. You find Bing Maps now as a component of Outlook 2013. In this case, we see that Outlook automatically detected an address string, and it offers me now through this Office application that I can open up Bing Maps and highlight this location directly in the map. I can link out from there and get driving directions and explanations how I get to this location. There are many more location-enabled products and services that feature Bing Maps and other location technologies. One of the focal points for this presentation is obviously what we do in Windows. And this is the point where I highlight some of the apps that already feature maps. There are several hundred applications already that I'm aware of that I've seen with Bing Maps in there. There are Bing Maps built into Windows directly. It comes with the operating system and provides built-in search and directions. You will find Bing Maps in the Bing Weather application. You will find it in Bing Travel when you want to have information about your next holiday, about your business trip that you are going to have in a foreign country or city. Then you find all the latest information and accurate maps provided by Bing Maps. The applications that allow you to overlay pictures and visualize all your memories that you have captured with your camera or with your smartphone in the context of a map. The applications that allow you to track your personal fitness activities and visualize the routes and the performance that you had in the context of a map. There's applications that allow you to geotag your notes and show them in the context of a map. There's applications that highlight certain keywords on Twitter and allow you to follow the buzz on the social networks. Other applications allow you to send locations directly to your car and then pick it up there from the navigation system and guide you through your new location. If you don't have a car, you can also use these applications to find a rental car. There are others that find you flights or hotels in foreign cities. There are applications that find you food, others that find you a property. And then there are applications that allow you to report 311 incidents, antisocial behavior, rubbish that wasn't collected, graffiti, these sort of things, and provide it in workflow for the local governments. And then there are the more high-end applications that integrate with the traditional GIS world and allow you to visualize complex geoprocessing tasks in the context of a map and bring it to millions. Other applications are more environmental-oriented. Earthquakes on a map, for example, is one of those. And another one is an application that highlights the flow and the level of the rivers. Now, that was just a few of these applications that we see today on Bing Maps. Before we now go into the coding and see how we integrate it in our own applications, let's have a quick look at the content, the features, and the APIs that we have. Now, Bing Maps comes with a large amount of content, petabytes of data that include roadmaps, that include imagery, that include these venue maps that allow you to drill inside a venue, airport, shopping mall, sports arenas, these sort of things. And you can have detailed information about the stores, in this case, in one of these airports. There's points of interest that we provide through the platform, both in the consumer side and in the APIs. There is a complete traffic picture that is updated constantly. We have the ability to find locations and businesses. And obviously, various types of routing components for cars, for public transport, and for walking directions. Now, if we look at the development side, there are a number of APIs that we can access. There's SOAP and REST web services, and a special form of REST web services that we call the spatial data services that allow you to store geocode and manage large amounts of data in the Microsoft cloud. We have Silverlight controls and AJAX controls for the web. We have a WPF control for the traditional desktop. We have for the modern applications a native Windows control, as well as a HTML5-powered WinJS control. And these are the two that we want to look at a little bit deeper. The WinJS control is insofar very interesting, and this is fundamentally the same as the AJAX control that we use for web applications. It has a very small core, as we need to have it for very performant web applications that also work well on mobile websites. And it is extended with additional modules that you can load on demand. These modules provide you access to API calls for geocoding, direction services, for styles, for traffic information, and also for venue maps. Now, the whole concept is so modular that we open it up for the community to develop their own modules that extend the basic functionality that we have built into the Bing Maps AJAX control and the WinJS control. And on Codeplex, you will find a number of these controls already. They are bundled together, and you find controls and modules there that allow you to load GeoRSS feeds or GPX feeds. There is a module that allows you to load heat maps, modules for clustering, modules that allow you to plot elevation, modules that are interesting if you want to have image overlays on the map or if you want to have drawing tools in the context of a map. And there are quite a few others, and this list is constantly growing. Now, I will show some of these controls, and I will show some of these modules that allow you to put your own content on the map. Now, one thing that I haven't mentioned so far is that on top of the controls for the WinRT and the WinJS, there's also another option how you can access map in the context of Windows 8. And this is protocol activation. So protocol activation allows you to basically specify a URI that calls directly into the map app that ships with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. Now, with that, let's leave the slides and go right into some of the demos. So protocol activation allows us to initialize a call to the map application with the keyword Bing Maps, and then we can provide a number of parameters. These parameters can help to launch the application. We can now snap our little sample application to the left-hand side and show some of the other demos. There we go. Now we snap it, our little grid view here with a couple of predefined methods that I have. So let's set the center point of the map application. So this is again the one that comes built into Windows. I'm not writing any code to embed the map in my own application. I'm controlling what already ships and comes with Windows. So on top of the center point, we can do things like setting the zoom level and having a closer look at the conference center where build happens. I can change the style and I can have a closer look at it in our beautiful bird's eye views and look from different directions. I can also provide, instead of a center point and zoom level, a bounding box. So if I wanted to see, for example, the region where Alcatraz is and I want to have that always filling out the complete screen, then I provide a bounding box rather than a center point and a zoom level. I can search for location. So by providing a parameter where equals and then a string for the address, I can find a number of places in San Francisco. Here I'm searching for the Golden Gate Bridge. And I get more information and functionality directly from the context of Bing Maps. So in this case, if I wanted to have the driving directions, I can get it directly from the push pin that already comes in there. It's quite rich functionality without writing a lot of code, just by adding a few URL parameters. I can search for business listings. So if I want to have seafood while I'm there at the build conference, I can go through these points of interest that Bing provides me and can look at some of those and see maybe here at the waterfront might be a good place to have a nice crab feast. I can have a look at routing as well. I can calculate a route from the airport into the build conference center, and I can show on top of that also the traffic. Here comes the traffic now. With the current information, so a little bit heavy here, but generally the route from the airport to the conference center seems to be free. Now, I can also have a lot of collections, points of interest that I want to visit while I'm in San Francisco. So obviously, the Build Conference Center is the important one. Let me go back and see some of the others. The Transamerica Pyramid, for example, the Golden Gate Bridge, and Alcatraz are only a few of those. Now, all of those things that I've shown you so far don't require me to write my own application or embed maps in my own application. I can go ahead and automate the built-in application that comes with the operating system. Let me show you how that looks like. Here we have our Visual Studio project, and we see here our sample data source where I basically retrieve all this information for my protocol activation. So the most simple one, when I just want to start the application, starts out with Bing Maps. Now, if I add a couple of parameters like CP for center point and then a latitude and longitude, for example, I specify a specific location on which I want to center the map. I can also provide further parameters, like in this case, a zoom level, parameter LVL equals 17. There are 21 of those, and these parameters allow you to have a closer look or zoom a little bit further out to see the surrounding area. Now I can also go and change the style. STY is the parameter that we use for that. R is for road and A is for aerial images. We have the bounding box that was the example where I showed you Alcatraz. In this case, I initialize with the parameter BB And then I have two coordinate pairs separated by this tilde sign here that allow me to specify that region that I want to show always in the best possible zoom level. Now, that is very specific. If you want to have your locations and you have really figured it out what the coordinates of the area or the center point of those are. But I mentioned before, I can also search for locations and for business listings. So if I initialize a search with the parameter where, and then I have, in this case, the Golden Gate Bridge, it will find it on the map and offer me alternatives if I'm not specific enough. If I look for business listings, then I start off with a Q parameter, Q for query parameter. In this case, I was looking for seafood, and I specified the location here as well. If I omit that, it will basically take the user location in account. And in this case, I also provide a style parameter. Now, the querying of a route can be in two different ways. I can have a complete route. That was the one that I showed you before. So we have two route points. I'm introducing that with the parameter RTP. And then I have two address parameters. San Francisco International Airport is the one. And if I zoom a little bit to the right, then we see the second parameter here is the conference center where build takes place. Now, a little bit further down, we see the same call, but I have now appended to that another parameter with TRFC that basically adds the traffic information on top of that to the map. And if I leave one of the routing points, of the waypoints for the route, the start or the endpoint, open, then it will automatically open the map application, populate the start or the endpoint, and then allow me to enter the missing information from there. The final example that I showed you was the one where I had a collection with multiple points. In this case, I introduced with the parameter collection. The collection can have a name, and for each of the points in the collection, I introduce with point, a latitude and longitude, and then I can have a title and a note that accompany this pinpoint on the map. So this was a very simple example that shows you the various options that we have with protocol activation. Now, let me go away from here and show another example where it makes perhaps a little bit more sense. I go out of here, and let me show you how I could use the same technology and the same approach with protocol activation to bring photos to the map. So here we have a photo viewer application. Let me bring that up quickly. There is my photo viewer. And in this photo viewer, I can basically go into my operating system. Let's take one of these photos here and open this up. The application will now read the EXIF metadata. And we see here there's a couple of information about the camera, about how it operated. That was, in this case, my HTC smartphone. And this smartphone also captures the GPS position at which I captured the photo. So in this case, we have a latitude and a longitude. And I can use this information that I retrieved now from this EXIF metadata viewer to show the location where I captured it on the Bing map. Now, let's have a quick look at that. I open up the map application, and we're going here into that region where I captured the photo. That is Cougar Mountain. There was a little coal mine there, and that is exactly the point where I made this particular photo. So, quick look at how this actually looked like in code. Let me bring up the Visual Studio for this one. Here we go. So there are a few things that happen here. I leverage the methods that Windows 8 provides me to retrieve image metadata information. So there is an option that allows me to take the file picker here. And then from this file, I can take the properties, and from these properties, the image metadata that I can retrieve out of these EXIF file information that come with the photo. And when I have this, I read this basically into a little dictionary. I have a couple of properties that I populate here, amongst others the latitude and longitude that I read into my text box. So we retrieve the latitude and longitude from the image properties. Latitude, if there is a value, then I round it up to a certain amount of digits. 6 digits is always good enough. That is at least 30 centimeter accuracy, and for a photo that is probably good enough. And now when I clicked on this button to show it on the map, I define here a new UI introduced by Bing Maps. I have a collection that I provide here for my photos, and then the point that I use to center the map to is the latitude and longitude that I retrieved from the EXIF metadata. That's it. So protocol activation is a very simple way to get started with Bing Maps on Windows 8 without even integrating it into your own application. Powerful and very simple to integrate. Right, so after we had a quick look at the protocol activation that allows you to launch the built-in Maps application that ships with Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, we will now have a look at the various controls and some of the APIs that you can use to integrate Maps into your own application without linking out to another one. Now, Microsoft.com/maps is a starting point that allows you to sign up for a key and get more information about where to find the SDKs, find the documentation on MSDN, find interactive SDKs as well that help you a little bit with some examples and step-by-step guides to work with both the native control and the WinJS control. Now, once you have such a key, click here on this get a basic key or take a trial key. For developers, I would always suggest take a basic key. The trial key is more if you want to evaluate it for later purpose in enterprise environments. But for developers, I would always use the basic key here. There are various types that you can use. There's one specifically for the Windows Store applications. Now, once you have signed up for that key, you get this key immediately and instantaneously. You can start developing your applications. And the first one that we are going to write here is an application for the native control. So in this case, let's zoom in a little bit more. We have an application where we have added the references to the native control. Let's have a quick look at the project. It is here to the left-hand side. There we go. There are two references. We need both of them. One is for the Bing Maps control. The other one is for Visual C runtime environment that we use underneath. Now, once we have imported that, we can reference the libraries here in our XAML. We have a reference here, m equals, and then using bing.maps. Now, this m is now the introduction to all the properties and methods that I'm going to use with the maps in this application. We have a name for this application, my map, so that I can assign it and address it afterwards through my code. And then we have the credentials where your Bing key will land. Now, the application that I have built here is one where we use a couple of very simple very simple methods for finding locations and for calculating routes. Let's have a quick look at the finished good. Here we have geocoding and routing implemented in this application. Let's see how that works. If we want to look, for example, for Brave1.1, where my office is, this is something that Bing understands very well. It zooms immediately in there, and you see this little purple polygon that we had here. It visualizes and indicates that we have venue maps. I can switch between the different levels here. So there's an excellent steakhouse. John Howie's here. I can click on all these information and get more details out of this as well. So this is something that comes already out of the box with the native control. Now, if I wanted to do something like driving directions, let's say I'm going from my old office in Microsoft Building 121 to Bravon 1, then I can get the directions here as well. And this will bring up the route as well as a couple of instructions for the itinerary here. Now, what I've done here is calling a couple of REST web services in the background. Let's look into that into a bit more detail. So there is my WinRT control. You saw that I was embedding the map here in the XAML. And when we look in the code behind this web page, we will see a few of these methods. So first one, when I load the map, I add a layer here in which I will afterwards render my points. So you can have multiple layers so that you can have routes on top of the points of interest, for example. You can have tile layers as well where you have your own imagery or your own roadmaps that you want to basically bring on top of Bing Maps. That could be an option as one of these layers as well. In this case, I have a very simple layer where I will basically only host my route, and I can clear this route without removing all the other information that I might have on the map. When I click the button geocode and find this address that I've entered there, I'm preparing a call to our REST web service, which is introducing here a query to the REST endpoint and appending also the credentials that I have provided in the map application here. So I'm passing over the query from the text box, and I'm passing over the credentials from this property in the XAML. Now, I'm asynchronously calling this web service now, and as soon as I have the response, I do a couple of things here. I show a pin on the map. I define this here, so there is a new object that I call pushpin, and I retrieve the location from the response that we have here. So the response has a point, and these points have two coordinates, one for the latitude and one to the longitude, and I can assign that to the pin. Then I add a couple of handlers. So for example, if I tap on this pin, then it will pop up and show me a message, and I will also add this pin now to the map and center the location on this particular point that I have. So the magic behind here is actually something that is binding data sources to the UI elements that we have in this application. So that becomes a little bit more obvious when we look at the routing application. So here I have a start and an endpoint, but the schema of calling the REST web service is pretty much the same. So I'm calling routing points 1 and 2. The one is the start point, the one is the endpoint. In both cases, I pass over a string, and I pass also over the map credentials again from the XAML. So once I have the route, I can use the route pass to draw a polyline on the map, and I can use the itinerary that I get back to bind it to a list box that we have in our UI. Now, this list box gets the information from the data context, and the data context, again, is something that we have provided in a specific class. Let's have a quick look at this one. There is my class with all the properties that we can possibly get back from the REST web services, and you will get all these samples here on the Windows Developer Center. There is one specifically for the Windows Store applications calling REST web services that one of my colleagues, Ricky Bandred, has provided. Now, let's have a quick look at one of those. There is one, for example, for an address. That is one of the responses that we get back from the geocoder. So we see I have a property, there's an address line, I have a value that comes in there. I have an admin district that is another property of an address. There are two different levels, so admin district and admin district 2. One is basically for the state level, 2 is for the county level. And then there are more and more properties as we go through this that Ricky took upon himself and basically created this class and made it available through the developer center. Now, that is a very quick run through some of the basic functions that we have in the WinRT control. Now, let's have a quick look at the other side of the development with the WinJS control and the advantages that we have on that side. So let's close this one and bring up the example with the WinJS control. So the WinJS control, from my perspective, is particularly interesting if you think about development for different environments. So for example, if you want to develop for the Windows 8 platform, if you want to develop for the Windows Phone, but maybe also for Android devices or for iOS devices, then HTML5 and JavaScript basically give you an option to do this cross-platform development in a very efficient way. Now, what we see here is an application that leverages this WinJS control, and I will run you through a few of the components that we have in here. So let's start with the references. Whenever we develop with the Windows Store applications, Bing Maps for the Windows Store applications, we add the references. Before, we add specifically the ones for the C Sharp and C++, as well as the library that we needed as in support of that. And if we look at the JavaScript, there are references for this as well. So there is Bing Maps for JavaScript, and there is the library that is automatically added when you have a JavaScript Windows Store project. So let's have a quick look at what happens here. We have in the HTML document, at the bottom, a div element that basically introduces our map here. I have a position that I can provide. I have a couple of parameters in terms of the size that I want to provide, but basically I just need to have a div element with an ID so that I can address it. Now, if we look at the code that happens here in the JavaScript side, the first thing is I start at the very button. We wait until the complete document object model is loaded, and then we attach an event that basically fires a function and loads the maps. So in this case, this is the function initialize here. If I scroll a little bit up to that function, let's have a quick look here. Function initialize, this is other stuff, let's go down. So on the JavaScript side, we are waiting until the complete document object model is loaded. And we have an event here that fires a function initialize when the document object model is completely loaded. So let's have a look at initialize. I'm basically addressing here my namespace Microsoft.maps that I have referenced in my HTML document. Let's show that as well. So here in the header we have two reference for the basic control that we have, plus the additional modules of which I will use a few in this example. And then there's a few more things that I will talk about a little bit later. So here we address this Microsoft.maps, we load the module, and we have a callback function initMap that fires when the JavaScript is completely loaded and we're ready to run. So in this callback function, I have my key that I provide here, I have the style, I have logos that I can make clickable or can switch off. So in this case, I don't want to have any interactivity, so I switch it off. And I can also define a theme here, so I want to make it very much look like the consumer-facing site that we have in Bing Maps. So once I have initialized the map itself, we have here another function where I load additional modules. So in this case, the theme that allows me to make it look like the consumer side. And this one has a callback function as well. So when this theme is loaded, I want to have another module that I fire here. So sorry, the traffic module in that case is which provides me traffic information. So the flow information, how fast the traffic currently goes on a particular road. So the traffic module is the one that I'm loading here. So there is another JavaScript module that I load in the context of my application here. When this is completely instantiated, I have callback function traffic module loaded. And this traffic module loaded will set me my map view to a certain region that I have, in this case, predefined. And it will switch on the traffic layer with this little function that I have here. So traffic layer is identified in this case as microsoft.map/traffic/traffic layer, and I want to load that in the context of the map element that I have rendered in my div. So once I have defined my traffic layer, I can show or hide it. So there is a very similar function to show just hiding it. And then I can do a couple of more things. For example, if I wanted to create driving directions, then I can do this here in this context as well. So if I want to load my driving manager, I have another module. There is my module that I load, Microsoft.map.direction, and the callback function create the driving route. So whenever I provided, in this case, a start and an endpoint, this module will be loaded. And if it is already there, I just skip that step and I directly fire this function that we have here, create driving route. This create driving route takes the input from two text fields that I have and adds it as waypoint to the object, the directions manager. And then I can set a couple of rendering options where I want to have the output. In this case, I have defined a div element, div directions, in which we have afterwards our itinerary. Right, so from WinRT, let's move over to the WinJS side and see what we can do with JavaScript in our Windows Store application. To me, this is particularly appealing because it allows you to take an application that you may have already built for the web, or an application that you plan to distribute over multiple devices like Android, like iOS as well, and you develop the application code and logic only once, and you can then distribute it from the HTML5 code via WinJS on the Windows Store application or via open frameworks like PhoneGap or Apache Cordova to other platforms as well. So here we have an application that leverages this JavaScript control. So you see I have also the options to zoom in and out. There is a couple of UI elements that look very much like our consumer-facing site. So I'm using a theme here, obviously. And then there are a few buttons that allow me to show or hide the traffic. There is UI elements that allow me to enter and start at an endpoint. Let's do that as well. Let's say I want to go from Redmond to Bellevue and want to get this route. Then it will render all this information here in a div element that I have to the right of the site. And when I click on this, it will automatically center and zoom the map to that particular waypoint. There's also a traffic-based route that I can switch to that gives me alternative information as well. And then there is another button that I will explain a little bit later. So let's see what it took to develop this particular part of the application. And for that, we go back into our Visual Studio. So we have our HTML document in which we describe all the UI elements that we use in this application. The one that we see here is the div element for the map. This is where we render the Bing maps. And we can provide a couple of other parameters like the size, for example, and where particularly in this grid element on the application I want to have it. Now, we also see that I have referenced at the top various JavaScripts here. So there is the one that I wrote myself, that is the default JS. And then there is those that actually implement Bing Maps in the website. So we have referenced this here in our project by clicking Add Reference. We find there is Bing Maps for JavaScript. And once I have added that, we see it here in our Solutions Explorer. And I can just drag and drop that here in our project and add it to the map. So now that I can use all these namespaces, let's have a look what happens on the coding side. So I wait until the complete document object module is loaded, and then I fire a function initialize. This function initialize is a little bit further up here, and it uses the namespace Microsoft.maps and fires a method load module. In that case, I'm loading the module for the base map, and I have a callback function initMap. initMap will define a couple of parameters, like the key that I have to authenticate myself. I have a map ID. I can enable interactivity of certain logo elements there, and I provide a theme as well. That is the one that basically makes sure that the application resembles what we have on the consumer side. Now, the callback function for loading this module is the one where I actually load the theme. So in this case, I load the theme here, and then I initialize the map in the div element that I have defined in my HTML document. Once I'm done with loading the map, I go ahead and load a couple of other modules. So in this case, I start with the traffic module. You saw me showing also the traffic layer, which basically has the current traffic situation in red, green, and yellow on the map. And this is the next function that we have here. Load traffic module loads another predefined module that we have in Bing Maps. And then it fires another callback function, traffic module loaded. You can already see where that goes. The map is immediately there, and I can do still certain things in the background and load additional components there. It is quite appealing, especially if you develop with the same sort of control also for websites that you might even want to run on mobile devices. Now, in this case, load traffic module is done. The callback function that we have here is setting the map view to a certain zoom and center point that I've predefined here, and then it switches on the traffic layer. So show traffic layer is the function that I call here, and this traffic layer is one of the predefined layers that we have in Bing Maps, and once I've defined that, I can show it or I can hide it with a different function. So these are the two buttons that you saw for controlling the traffic picture on the map. Now, the next one is actually a set of functions that I fire when I click on the button Create Directions. So the first one here is the Create Directions. I load the Directions module, and this module will take care of all the UI things that you have seen in that div element. I just have to tell it where I want to have the driving directions rendered, and it will all have will have all these road shields. It will have the turn indicators that we have here. It gives me the detailed information about the distance to the next turn and the road that I'm turning into, and all these things that are in this little div element. I don't need to care about. This is something that the driving the directions manager does for me. So once I have loaded this module, there is a callback function create driving route, and here I remove a previously loaded route, if it is still there. And then I can set a couple of options. In this case, I want to make sure that I have driving directions. I could also set that to transit directions or walking directions. And then I define the waypoints, which I basically get from the UI elements text box start and text box end here. Both of these waypoints are added to the directions manager, And then I have a couple of rendering options. So here's the div element that I render it into. And then I start calculating the directions. So a few lines of JavaScript code, and everything is done in the background. That is the directions itself and the basic functionality of the map. That is very, very straightforward. And for this particular part, you can also just reference the interactive SDK that we also use on our control for the websites. The functions are really literally the same that we have here. So, for example, if we wanted to add something like venue maps to the map, then I can have a quick look at this feature that we have here in our navigation tree. There is the venue maps. There is loading the venue maps. And now I want to create the venue map, and then I want to display it. And here we go, and we have it on the map. The little purple rectangles, there's Macy's, and so on. So here is always a little bit of JavaScript code that shows you how this is done. It's really very straightforward, and it works exactly the same in the WinJS control for the Windows Store applications. So with that, let's step a little bit back and look in the second part of the application that is on top of this simple routing functionality that I have. So the second part of this application is the really interesting part. And this is where we combine the Bing Maps with another interesting technology that's one of my favorites at the moment, Windows Azure Mobile Services. So once I have created my route, I can basically store it in Windows Azure Mobile Services. And the purpose is that I want to create some form of notification and alert services that shows me on a toast and a tile notification what the current traffic situation is. So rather than calling an application, I want to have that basically directly on my desktop, and I want to have information about how much delay I have from the current driving time that I've calculated here to the one that I have perhaps in the morning or in the evening based on the traffic picture that is there. So when I click on this button, Save Route, there are a few things that happen there. And this is where it ties into the Windows Azure Mobile Services. Let's have a quick look at what exactly that is. So the mobile services come also as various SDKs for Android, for iOS, obviously also for Windows 8 and Windows Phone. And for Windows 8, there is one for the WinRT, and there is one for the WinJS version. We have referenced that here in our document as well. And when I click on that button, Save Route, I'm making use of this, and I store this information back in Windows Azure Mobile Services, or more precisely in the Windows Azure SQL database that is behind the mobile services. So in this case, we see there are a few other things that that I take advantage of. So for example, I have a notification channel that I define here, with which the Windows Azure Mobile Services can communicate and identify on which device I currently am, and he basically sends it to me and not to anybody else. I have a couple of parameters that identify my mobile service application, as well as the UL endpoint here, that is the key and the endpoint that we have. And I've also implemented authentication. So this is a service that requires that you are authenticated in that case. I have chosen to use the Microsoft account. You could also use Facebook, Google, or Twitter accounts to authenticate yourself against the Windows Azure Mobile Services. So once I have the user ID from the authentication, I can work with the mobile services itself. So behind that in the database, I have a table called route item that is dynamically expanded and adds columns as I change my code here. And in this particular case, I insert a few information. There is a function insert route item. The route item is defined here. I have a start point and an end point, each with a latitude and longitude. And I also want to enter the standard travel time, assuming that there is no traffic congestion whatsoever. And I enter then also the channel UI so that the Windows Notification Service can communicate through the Windows Azure Mobile Services to me. So the start lat and start long, end lat and end long, and travel time, these are all information that I got from Bing Maps in this case, and I send them now to the Azure Mobile Services. Now, what happens on that side? Let's have a quick look at the mobile services. We have our Windows Azure Mobile Services here. There is my project that I've created. There is the URL, and when I click on that, there are a few things that I can do. So we see there's a little dashboard here that tells me about the activity. There is the option to browse directly into the data. There is currently only this one table. There are these information that I have stored. Then there is, if we scroll to the right, the user ID and also the channel UI. Now, in the backend, I can write scripts that do certain things when I work with Windows Azure Mobile Services. And let me make this a slightly a little bit bigger so that we can see that JavaScript a little bit bigger. So here in this case, before I actually store this information, I can execute a couple of other functions. So I can use Windows Azure Mobile Services, write JavaScript code, and before I insert this item, I want to have an initial feedback to the application that calls it. So in this case, I want to have a tile update. The live tile should be updated with a traffic image, and I want to have also calculated the standard driving time that we have here. In order to do that, I call the Bing Maps REST Web Services. I have a call to the routing services here specifically. I want to have driving directions. I pass over the waypoint that I submitted from my Windows Store application. And I also want to have now an optimization for the route considering the current traffic information. So that will give me the drive time that I have considering the traffic. And then there is more information about the key that I need to provide, and that's pretty much it to call the service itself. So when the callback from the Bing Maps REST Web Service comes back, I write a little bit of status codes here in a log file that I can also control and for debugging and for monitoring the application. I calculate the current drive time considering the traffic situation by parsing the JSON response that I get from the Bing Maps REST Web Service. I look into the resource sets here and I get the parameter travel duration back. And then I basically calculate the delay. That is the current travel time from the time that I would have without traffic. This is a value that is provided in seconds, so I divide that by 60 and then can return the delay that I have if I would leave right now for my tour. A little bit more that I can add here by evaluating how much delay we have. If it is more than 10 seconds, I might choose to have another coffee, and otherwise I go to work immediately. So once this is done, I send the response that signals that we have inserted the data into the database. And I also send a tile notification. In this case, I have a peak tile here, so that is text and image that flip up and down. I submit to this image a call to the Bing Maps Imagery REST service. So in this case, rather than calculating the route, I call the service to create a little PNG file. Provide a couple of parameters here as well. So I want to have the routing map style, not images. And I want to have a route overlaid on this image that goes from the same start and end point as I defined before. And I also want to have the map layer switched on that shows the current traffic situation on the map. Then I define the size of it. So the white tiles in the Windows Store are 310 by 150. That is the size of the image that I want to have. And then I have a couple of parameters here for the query as well. Now, from there is more information about the delay and this little tweak that I had for the notification as well. And then I log the response into the Windows Azure Mobile Services log file. With this push notification that I receive after an insert, I have the following tile on my desktop. So you see here, this one is the tile that is a white tile. It has the traffic picture and the route that I take from home to the office. And then we have this little peak tile, so it basically gives me information about the current delay. At the moment it is 3 minutes delay based on the traffic, and it gives me a little tweak on top of that as well. Now, that's fine, but it makes, of course, a lot of sense that I get this sort of information also on an updated base, on a regular basis, and not only when I insert the information into the database. So in order to provide this, I have here an application, another script in Windows Azure Mobile Services. Let's look at this one. So this script is actually from the scheduler. So if we step back for a moment and we have a quick look here at the mobile services, and here you see there's a couple of things that I configure. The push notification, that is where I have the parameters, identity parameters for authentication. Here we have a scheduler, and this scheduler allows me to set and monitor a certain recurring task, batch operations, for example, or in this case, recurring notifications to my desktop. So I have this send update batch job. I have scheduled it to run every 60 minutes. And then we see here a script. And this particular script also calls out every hour to the Bing services, calculates the current traffic time in a very similar way as we did that with the initial request. So in this case, I have the call to the REST web services again. I calculate the current drive time, I calculate the delay, I add a note to that, and then I send two notifications. One is the tile notification that updates that desktop tile, that is very much the same as what we had before. And then I have a toast notification, which is the little toast that you have at the top right side, and that flies in whenever you have a new message from an application. So the concept here is the same. The size of the tile is slightly different. And then I also provide here the delay and a little tweak on top of that as well. So that's it. Everything in JavaScript, server-side code, client-side code, and it works perfectly well. If you are a JavaScript fan, if you want to develop cross-devices and cross-platforms, then the WinJS control for Bing Maps is certainly your friend. Let's have a look at some of the new things that we introduced for Windows 8.1. One of the things is a new version of the native control that is provided for the version 8.1 of Windows. When you have your current controls and applications, it will be an upgrade process. So it basically is required that you recompile your applications before you resubmit them to the Windows Store. However, current applications continue to work. It is just for the new applications or changes that you have for existing applications where you need to recompile the code. The new controls are entirely backwards compatible, so there is no breaking changes. Everything is supposed to work as it does right now. What we have new in the native control is that we have wrapped now these methods for geocoding and for routing in the .NET code in the control itself. So rather than defining lengthy data contracts and calling the REST web services, this is now something that control can do all by itself. We have here our search manager who can provide the geocoding as shown in this case. And in a very similar fashion, we can do also route calculations. We provide a start and endpoint, and then we calculate the directions asynchronously. So instead of dozens of lines of code, we are now down to a handful of lines of code that does pretty much the same as before and works very efficiently as well. Now, another thing that we are going to provide starting from the build timeframe is a new service that is part of our Bing Spatial Data Services. The Bing Spatial Data Services so far allow you to batch geocode, batch reverse geocode, upload and query data from the Microsoft Cloud. So it lives in the context of Bing Maps, and we can basically manage and back up all these data for you in that with your Bing Maps account that you have. I'm also glad to announce today a preview of new methods that we add to the Bing Spatial Data Services. With these new methods that we are starting to preview today, you will be able to retrieve administrative areas and use them to visualize your data on top of the map. Thematic maps that you map against some form of key performance indicators to visualize certain regions based on these KPIs in different colors. We will gradually extend on this functionality that we launched today and preview today and add more to that. We will allow you to upload your own spatial data, polygons, lines, into the Bing Maps environment and then visualize them in the context of these maps, very much like you see that here with the predefined polygons that I'm showing you right now. Thematic maps is often a very good way to visualize information that can be mapped to a specific region. If you want to have it a little bit closer to specific points and want to do some form of density analytics, for example, of traffic incidents, then there is another way that could be quite interesting. And this other way is density maps or heat maps, as it is sometimes to refer to as well. Let me show you a little example of that as well. We have a heat mapping application on my desktop here. This is heat maps. And in this heat maps application, I have all my Foursquare check-ins that I have done over the last years. So when I zoom out, we will basically see where I spent the most of my time or where I spent the most of the check-ins, a little bit all over the world. And you see this makes already clear there are some certain hotspots. If I zoom a little bit closer, these hotspots dissolve, right? So it was obviously the Washington area when I looked at the world scale. If I zoom a little bit closer, we see it is more the Seattle area. And then when I zoom into the Seattle area, the Puget Sound, then we see there are a few hotspots that are really sticking out. There is a few things where I was for a hike, and then the area where I go shopping and working. So this is the different way, the new way of the thematic maps that we provide through the Spatial Data Services API, quickly shown live as well. Here we go. So in this case, I loaded the application. I have these polygons that I retrieve for the different states. And as you see, as I mouse over that and they are being highlighted, they are all interactive. They are color-coded based on certain KPIs that I have provided, and I can interact with them in any way I want. So this was a quick run through Bing Maps for the Windows Store applications. Let me highlight a few key resources for you. The first one I have shown you already during this presentation, how to get the Bing Maps key. When you are in this developer portal where you sign up for the key, you find further links also to the complete documentation on MSDN. You find code samples on the Windows Developer Network. The interactive SDK I have shown you also live. On CodePlex, there are all these different community modules, of which the heat map that I just showed you is one. Then there is also a Windows Azure Windows Store application training kit for Bing Maps that is also on CodePlex. And I've provided here also a link to the URI schema that is used for the protocol activation that I showed you at the beginning of my examples and demos. With that, I thank you for your time. And I hope you have lots of fun writing applications with Bing Maps.